Shelby, how have you been?
I've been good. This is really exciting. In fact, I haven't even been back to this place that we're at right now since I was with you last time. So it's full circle.
So right now we are here in Iron and Grain Coffee here in East Moline in the Rust Belt. And yeah, this is quite the place. Mm-hmm. I've known the owners for quite some time, and it's just really, really nice because for the longest time, we didn't have this here in East Moline. We didn't really have coffee shops like this where you could come in and play pool or, you know, get the benefit of all this awesome furniture courtesy of Streamline Architects. But yeah, this is a wonderful spot.
I feel like I'm like really all about the East Moline economy today because I just came from having brunch at Creative Cuisine, which is like a block that way. So
Creative? What did you get?
I got their smoky toast. It's my favorite.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I know it's basic, but it's so good.
I bet. The last time I was there, I got just a regular burger. But normally, like for brunch, I will get, it's like this, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a breakfast sandwich. You get like an egg, however you want it. So over easy, scramble however you want it. And then there was like ham, and you could get fruit for sides.
Does it have the gravy on it?
Yes, it does.
Is it the Madame Croque or the Croque Madame?
That, I think it is. Yes. That sounds very familiar.
Yes.
I think that's what it is.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
It was amazing.
There is a 1,000% chance I pronounced that incorrectly, by the way.
Hey, I'm sure that they'll still appreciate the shout out.
There is no fact checkers on this podcast. Yeah.
So anyway, so for all you guys tuning in right now, my name is Juwan Arrington. I am the creator, founder of the 100 series.
Woo!
And it's been a while. I had a podcast probably a few months ago. But I'm really, 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 really trying to get back into the swing of things now. And what better way to do that than to bring in a longtime colleague of mine. I've been able to watch her grow in the field of journalism for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And she is an anchor at WQAD. She anchors the 4 o'clock, the current.
Woo!
And she also anchors the 6 o'clock news as well.
Yes.
She's a good friend of mine. She is an amazing worker, amazing human being. Mm. Shelby Kluver, what's going on?
The crowd is going nuts.
Right?
That was a really nice introduction, Joanne. Thank you.
No problem.
We literally sit side by side at work, like
exactly.
Elbows touching.
Yeah. And it's been fun. I would not want to have anyone else as a desk mate at work.
Oh my gosh. I feel the same way. We used to work morning show together.
That's true.
4 years ago. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I want to say, 2021?
It was still pretty COVID-y. Like, we still had to take all the protocols. We were still working from home, I think.
That's true.
Yeah, we were.
That's true. That's right. Yeah, and my gosh, that's been almost 5 years now.
Oh, my God.
My goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Time is passing by so fast.
I know. I've probably been at the station now almost 15 years since I started there in 2010.
Wow.
As a part-time editor. And then I switched over for a small bit as a producer / photographer. It was a interesting time back then. But then I switched over to full-time photog.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have been doing that since, been on the morning show ever since, doing that, obviously doing 100 series. And yeah, I've met so many, gotten to work with so many different reporters on our show at work. And I have to say, and this is not to, you know, inflate the ego or anything, but you were definitely one of my favorites to work with on the morning.
I thought we had a lot of fun in the mornings, even though it was like, I swear every day it would be -500 degrees outside when we would do our stories together, but we made it fun.
Absolutely.
I would pull up. I wish I could set the scene for you guys. It's picture this. It's 20 below zero. It is pitch black outside. I pull up, it's like 3 a.m, and Juwan is bumping Michael Jackson.
Oh, right. Oh, that's right. I was definitely in my Michael Jackson era.
Like, his car is like shaking as I'm rolling up at 3 a.m. It was like the perfect way to start the day.
Oh, that was fun. You know what? And the reason I was playing Michael Jackson back then was because at the time, my favorite music artist is by far The Weeknd.
Oh, yes.
I absolutely love The Weeknd, love everything about the way he does music, how he sings, mm-hmm. the production. And at the time, he had just released his After Hours album.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. And I was playing that nonstop. And a lot of people like to compare The Weeknd to Michael Jackson because they do have a very similar voice.
Yeah.
So I had played the crap out of After Hours. And I needed something else. So I decided to go back, and I started playing old Michael Jackson music. And yeah, that was my Michael Jackson era for probably a good, I don't know, a good 6 months.
Oh, yeah, at least, I feel like.
And then I went back to The Weeknd, and I started going back through his old discography mm-hmm. and listening to all of his old stuff. And I pretty much know his entire discography front to back now.
Okay, so if you had to choose right now, what are your top three Weeknd songs?
Oh, man. So I'm going to have to say, right now, I'm going to say The Birds.
Ooh.
The Birds, which is off of the Thursday uh-huh. mixtape.
Deep cut.
You know, back to the trilogy era. I'm going to say Blinding Lights.
Oh, yes.
Blinding Lights, because that's just such a classic. And that song helped me get over my fear of flying.
Oh.
Because of the way the song starts with this tempo, I would always play that song just as the plane was getting ready was taking off, and that whole tempo just really just took me to a whole other atmosphere.
Oh, literally. That's cool.
So I you know, attribute my conquering my fear of flying to The Weeknd on that song.
Oh, that's cool.
And I would have to say right now my next favorite is probably going to have to come off of his newest album, Hurry Up Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be Without a Warning. Just because I just love how that song, it really sums up his whole career. Because for all of you who don't know, The Weeknd is real name Abel Tesfaye. He has decided to step away from his persona mm-hmm. as The Weeknd. He's still going to do music, of course, but like his whole character of The Weeknd really ended with Hurry Up Tomorrow. So the song Without a Warning is kind of him, you know, contemplating what it's like going to be like after that.
Mm-hmm.
That and is also has great production, obviously. Metro Boomin, I believe, was one of the producers on that track. And Metro Boomin, if you don't know, is probably one of the top rap R&B producers right now. So anytime Metro Boomin is producing a track, it's going to be magical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he produced the entire Across the Spider-Verse soundtrack.
That's right. Didn't that song, Sunflowers, just break some record?
It did break a record, but that was off of the first Spider-Verse movie.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what record it broke, but I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
again, no fact checkers on this right. pod. It's the theme.
Right. Yeah. But what kind of music do you like?
Ooh, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently because I was asked to do this music project and like talk about records that mean a lot, have meant a lot to me growing up. And I've been coming to terms with the fact that I don't know a lot of music history, and I don't have a really, for lack of a better way to put it, like historical music taste. I grew up, my parents had us listening exclusively to like K-Love or Praise FM, like Christian pop radio. Uh-huh. Even at home, like that was all we listened to. We didn't listen to any of the oldies like at all, or like really any modern music at the time either. But the one thing they did play is they had a CD that we would play whenever we'd clean the house every Saturday or like at night when we go to bed. And it was Orange and Yellow, and it was 53 of the Beach Boys' greatest hits.
Okay.
And I know that album or that CD like front to back. I can sing every word along. Mm-hmm. I love the Beach Boys so, so much. Brian Wilson passing away earlier this year was a really, I don't know, touching time for me. So I'm getting married in a few months, and I am trying to see how many Beach Boys songs I can work into.
Okay.
Like the reception and processional, things mm-hmm. like that. So.
No, you asked me before my favorite three Weeknd songs. What are your favorite three Beach Boys songs?
Ooh, wow. Okay, so Nobody Come For Me. I am going to pick three pretty basic answers. They're not going to be deep cuts at all. Because again, this is my exposure to them was based off of their 53 biggest hits. And that's where my love came from. God only knows. Wouldn't it be nice, I think, is going to be the song when they pronounce, like, you are now husband and wife, you may kiss the bride or whatever, and then you walk back down. I think we're going to play the song, Wouldn't It Be Nice, because the whole lyrics are, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we were married, we could live mm-hmm. together, have a life together, we wouldn't have to say goodbye at night kind of things. It's a really sweet, romantic song. And then, okay, this is really tough. I am going to go basic, but how can you not mention Kokomo? How can you not?
Right.
I was convinced Kokomo was like a paradise on earth, that like, I'm going to honeymoon in Kokomo someday. Right. Like, I was convinced. Who among us wasn't?
Nice. What do you feel about Barbara Ann?
Classic song. Right. Iconic. Can never be done again.
I remember first hearing that song when I was a kid. There was this movie called Surf Ninjas.
Oh,
and like they played that song like throughout that movie. So like, every time I think of the Beach Boys, I always think of Barbara Ann.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a, I feel like anyone could just do it. Ba, 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 mm-hmm. ba, ba. It's so much fun to just sing and hum along to. And right. that's something that listening to their music, I mean, I don't mean to be so cynical, like, oh, no one these days is doing it like that, but like mm-hmm. who else is giving us like at times 16 part harmonies mm-hmm. for sometimes only like a few beats, like only 8 counts at a time. Just like the vision that they had for those songs, so beautiful. And I think that's what makes them so much fun and why they lasted so long, is like you can pick out different things every single time you listen. And that's what's also intriguing to me about The Weeknd, is the production level. I went to his concert in Chicago, Soldier Field, a couple months ago. And usually, like, at concerts like that, I feel like you notice different things sound-wise and production-wise than when you're listening at home. Mm-hmm. But I was really blown away by how detailed the production was, even in, like, a giant stadium like Soldier Field.
Right. And, like, I didn't go to the concert, but I did watch the... He did like a live concert on HBO, so I got to experience that way.
Yeah.
And I will say that I was very, very impressed. Like, he's one of the few artists who sounds, I think, better live
yes.
than in a recording.
Mm-hmm.
Like how he's able to still be able to sing like that. And of course, in music that he does a lot of layering.
Yes.
But still, to even just by himself, and not without any backup dancers, to still be able to put on the show that he puts on is beyond impressive.
It's really impressive. Well, that leads me into a question I had for you, Juwan.
Okay.
Kind of tying back what you mentioned earlier, we're talking about, you know, keeping up this level of production or just continuing to get better. Well, after 15 years of being a photog, what do you think keeps you creative and passionate?
So that's a great question. I was taught that when you want to learn, sometimes you have to teach. Mm. Because when you start teaching, you learn more. You learn more about, you know, yourself. You learn more about patience, being patient with other people when maybe they don't, you know something that you know. Mm. Or don't pick up on something as fast as you would like them to be able to have that patience, to give them that time to learn without being frustrated or without getting upset. I think that's one thing that I was able to learn, especially, you know, later on now in my career.
You are really patient. Mm-hmm. You stay really even-headed mm-hmm. at work, even when, you know, mm-hmm. just sometimes Juwan's shift ends at noon and it'll be like 11:45 and, oh, here comes this house fire and Juwan's mm-hmm. got to go cover it.
Oh, yeah, that's happened before.
And, you know, it's annoying, but you're really good at staying even keeled. Yeah.
And it's like when you like look back at those moments, like those moments are gone. You know, of course, obviously, sometimes it can be frustrating in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But when like you're on a day like today and it's like that moment has passed, it's like, what's really there to be upset about? I didn't have anything else going on at the time. I didn't have any, you know, major appointments or family commitments. You know, of course, that obviously would have been a factor if that were the case. But I had the time. I, you know, there wasn't much reason to to be upset about those certain things. The moment's there, the moment has passed, and you know, can move on from that. To me, that's not something really to be frustrated about, to me, in my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, that's another thing that comes with patience. I've seen a lot of people come and go who they let themselves get in their own head and get in their way. And for whatever reason or another, they're not around anymore. And you know, that's the one thing, is that you will be your biggest obstacle no matter what. Sure, there will be life that gets in the way. There will be other people who may get in the way. But none of that gets in the way of your own mind and psyching yourself out, or being stuck in your own ways, or maybe having too big of an ego to, you know, see the big picture. No, I'm not saying that I even see the big picture, but I know that I can only control my attitude and my own actions. So I consciously choose to just go in, you know, grateful every single day that I'm able to do, you know, something that I love doing. A lot of people, they get up and they go out and they do things that they don't like doing. They're out, you know, speeding in morning traffic to get to a job that they don't really even like, to work for people who would fire them in an instant if they had to. That's not something that I want to sell out to. What I want to sell out to is the vision that I have for my own life and the belief that I can obtain that vision. And that's really the main thing that I've been able to take away now, you know, 15 years after the fact.
Yeah. And I think part of it too is like, to work in news and to succeed in news, I think you have to be willing to put a story above, you know, I work a 9-to-5, or I'm going to work Monday through Friday, or it sounds bad, and some people aren't for this, and that's okay. And it's not just news that's like this. There's a lot of jobs that are like this. Nursing, you know, first responders, right up there. Teachers, right up there with this as well. But your job doesn't end once you clock out, and it doesn't start when you get to work in the morning. You're kind of always on. And I think to succeed, you have to show that you have to be passionate about that. So you have a great mix of passion and patience. You're like a double threat.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know what the future holds, but this last 15 years has been an incredible ride. This has been the longest job that I've had in my entire adult life. And like I said, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for everything that I've been able to do, learn, and experience. And whatever happens, you know, in the next 15 years, I am very excited to see, you know, what's going to happen. But I can tell you right now, it's going to be amazing.
I can tell you that right now, too.
So you've been in the business now for 5 years.
Yep, this is my sixth year now.
So you were already doing awesome. You know, when I got to work with you back in 2021, you've only evolved so much now from that.
Thanks.
What? Well, I guess let's rewind the clock even more so than that.
Okay.
What inspired you to want to go into journalism?
You know, growing up, and I'm not so sure that this is the case for a lot of people anymore, but growing up, you know, we always had local TV on, and I'm from South Dakota. We have two markets essentially in the entire state. So it's either, if you live on the one half of the river, you will watch the station down in Sioux Falls. If you live in the other half of the river, other half of the state, you watch the stations in Rapid City. So we would always have it on, the 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, and it would be there as we're cooking, you know, families like coming in and out of living, you're watching it. But then at night, 10 o'clock news, we'd all be sitting there, and as a family, we'd watch the 10 o'clock news together. And growing up, I didn't understand a lot of it. A lot of it went over my head. But then I got to eighth grade, and I got into speech and debate, and I got really into oratory, which is a specific style of interp. And my coach, like first week, eighth grade year, was like, you have the voice for a newscaster. And I'd always been interested in journalism. I'm so curious. I think that this is like the biggest privilege in the world that we get to like constantly be thinking about, well, what is that? Or how is that getting paid for? Or what is the result of that? Or who's helping these people and who's not helping these people? Those questions that I feel so passionate about in my day-to-day life. It's such a privilege to be able to get to follow those as a profession. So it kind of combined, I'm not afraid of public speaking. I actually think it's kind of fun. I loved debate. I loved being in plays when I was younger. So it's almost like the perfect mesh of all my interests. But the older and older I get, the more and more and more, and I don't want this to sound like I wasn't valuing it before, but the gravity, like the weight of the responsibility that we have, I feel it more and more the older I get and the more fragmented people's news becomes. And as we have really tough questions to face as an industry about what our future is and what the future of journalism in America looks like and how local news is going to look in 10, 15 years, I feel more and more responsibility to make sure that it lives on. I mean, it sucks watching Quad City Times lose their printing and my hometown paper closed last year. And you read studies like the Northwestern School of Journalism, Medill, published a study that said that in the last, I don't remember how many years, but over the last however many years, a third of American newspapers have closed. And now 55 million Americans live in a local news desert and they don't have access to local news. And that's, it blows my mind. I mean, as a society, I think we need local news. The more and more people seem to be galvanized against the media, the more and more and more I think local news is so important. Because I don't think people realize there's a difference between what they refer to as this anomalous media and local news are two different things.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've seen it so many times. Like there was one example years back where there was an issue in Davenport with the water. Either like people couldn't, they weren't getting access to their water. So we did a story on that and we reached out to, I think it was Iowa American. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. Again, no fact checkers here. But it was a water company here mm-hmm. in the area. And we asked them what was going on, and I believe by the end of the day, the people's water got turned back on.
Wow.
So yeah, local news is definitely a way of holding accountability.
Yeah.
For the people, for the companies in our area, mm-hmm. for our locally elected leaders. You know, without the media, you know, what would happen? What would happen to, you know, the people in need?
I think you're already seeing it with like our own staffing cuts, and it's not just us. When more newspapers close, when the Quad City Times has to lay off journalists, when channels 6, 4, and 8 here in the Quad Cities have to lay off people, like you see a lack of coverage in certain communities because we just physically do not have the bodies to get people there and cover things. I mean, it's wild to think about, but I am really heartened by everybody that does say, you know, you hear all the time, oh, I don't watch the news or I don't pay attention to the news. Mm-hmm. But for every one person that says they saw a story or likes to watch, oh my gosh, it makes me so happy. It just fills me with so much joy of like, thank you. Not just for watching us. I mean, you can watch anyone. Thank you for caring about your community. I mean, that's what I think it boils down to is like,
yeah.
You just want to care. Like we live in a society. We live in a community. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of put your money where your mouth is, spend local, go to arts shows locally, watch local news, like show up to high school theater performances, like show up. I just feel like so many people my age are afraid of showing up. And I don't know if that's if that's a outcome of the pandemic or if it's social media or both. But yeah, we're huge proponents of that. And it is funny when you walk into like a a theater performance, and my fiance and I are the youngest people there. Mm-hmm. And everyone's kind of like looking at you like, oh, what's going on? But we're having the time of our lives. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And given, like, I hear that a lot, where a lot of people always complain that there aren't things to do, when it's like, dude, we do stories every week about all the events that are happening around
exactly.
the area.
Exactly.
It's not that there's a lack of things to do. It's a lack of ambition to want to participate in those things.
Exactly. Like what? If you don't see mm-hmm. this, that the Wopsy sunflower patch is on your TikTok mm-hmm. feed, you're not going to go? Like, what a shame. Mm-hmm. What a shame.
Yeah. And another thing you mentioned about the state of journalism, and I'm seeing it a lot on social media, on TikTok, and it's also just the lack of people who don't understand what journalism is.
Yeah, no media literacy.
And like I'll see a story on TikTok about, and that they're trying to explain this thing, but they'll do it in such a half-assed way.
Yes.
That it's like, they don't really end up saying anything at all. They say a lot without saying, but they say nothing.
Yeah. And those are always the people that are not citing any sources. Mm-hmm. And you go to like fact check them or like look up like where are they pulling these reports from or these figures from, and it's like non-existent.
So it is frustrating, you know, as a journalist who's done it as long as I am, to see. One, I look in the comments and people aren't really commenting on like
yeah.
how poorly reported this is. They get baited.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those things, those posts are too, is just bait to get engagement and get money. So it's just kind of it just seems really selfish to me. It's not, they don't really do it for the love of the game.
Yeah, seriously.
it's all about profits, and it's really, to me, it's disappointing.
It is. It is. But we'll have to see, I mean, what's going to change. Speaking of literacy, the National High School Report Card just came out, not this past week, but the week before, and it said that right now, one-third of high school seniors in America do not have basic reading skills. Basic. We're not, like, basic. And that plays into all these issues we've been talking about.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's basically 33 out of 100.
Yes. One out of every third 18-year-old you meet does not possess basic reading skills right now.
And did it say, like, what the reason was because of that?
They said part of it was COVID, but they said a lot of it was the rise of AI. And, you know, kids don't have to work as hard. They can just cheat their way through things.
Yeah, it's definitely, Yeah, technology is great, but technology can also, unfortunately, become a crutch.
Mm.
Especially with the rise of AI and using artificial intelligence. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting time, and can only hope that things get turned around and we set the example to for all these kids out here that you don't have to rely on this technology. There's a whole world. I mean, sure, we have these phones where we can access the world, but it's better to actually physically go out and access the world.
Yeah. I think about this all the time. I have no idea who said it, but the idea of it's not living if you're watching life through a screen. You're letting life pass you by. You got to go out and live it yourself. So, speaking of living, have you done anything in the last, we're talking about being plugged into the community, have you done anything in the last 2 weeks in the area that is new or you really enjoyed doing, was really fun?
So, I've always been a huge movie buff.
Yes.
That is my thing.
Yes, it is.
So, I'm always out going to the movie theaters. I'm a huge, huge, supporter of theater, of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I know that especially since the pandemic, there's been more of a tendency or a habit for consumers to want to stay at home and just watch movies when they come out on digital.
Boo.
But it really is negatively affecting, you know, movie theater and the movie theater experience. And I get, you know, there are people out there that say that ticket prices, you know, have gone up, even though I just saw a movie yesterday, a matinee, that was like $7.75.
Exactly.
So it's not that much. And I know that there's concessions on top of that as well, although those are optional.
Yes, exactly.
Like I remember for the longest time just going, getting a ticket and just going right into the movie.
Exactly.
Not having to do, I don't really get, you know, concessions back then. Now, so I do now because I do have a little bit more expendable income.
Okay, wait, pause. Before you continue with what you're saying very eloquently, I need to know what your snacks are, what your go-to snacks are.
Oh, so I almost always get mozzarella sticks.
Ooh.
And either a Sprite or whatever lemon lime soda is available.
Yes.
So I always get the mozzarella sticks with the marinara sauce, of course. and I'll get, you know, a nice crisp lemon lime soda.
Yeah, I love. Wow, that's not at all what I expected, but it is what I was hoping to hear deep down inside.
Really, what were you expecting?
Popcorn.
So I mean, I was doing the popcorn thing because at the VIP in Moline, they had this offer where if you buy their VIP bucket, I think it's like, well, last year I bought it was like $14, but I think that was because they opened up in July.
Yeah, that's a steal. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like the original is like $20-something.
Still.
But you do that and then you bring the bucket back.
Exactly.
And you pay like $1 or $2.
It pays for itself.
For popcorn. And it's a lot of popcorn. Like you will not eat it all. I usually had to bring it home.
Exactly.
And then finish it off at home.
Exactly.
It's a lot of popcorn. And so concessions aren't, they really, around here at least.
Right.
If you do it right. If you're going, you know, yourself, maybe another person, or even as a family, you get that big old bucket of popcorn.
Exactly.
You know, a few drinks, and there are snack packs available for kids. They're like $5.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you probably can get a good deal, and walk out not having spent a whole lot of money.
And I will say too, like if you don't go to the movie theaters, you can argue with a wall. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Seeing a movie in the theater is a completely different experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, completely. And as someone who, I'm always cranking the volume up on the TV, I'm always like, I can't hear, like, turning it up. Oh, like, the fact that you're in the movie theater and, like, your bones are, like, rattling because the music's so loud. It's just like, oh, you get to be, like, part of the experience.
Exactly. And it feels like you're in it.
Yes.
It feels like you actually are... in the movie. And I just love, I love going in there and watching the trailers and feeling getting that feeling of,
yes,
of anticipation for the actual movie.
Oh, yes.
And while I can say that sometimes I think there are a few too many trailers and ads.
No.
Moline's got it right, though. Moline, they keep them pretty short, though.
That's my prime. I'm always running late, so that's my prime popcorn time when I'm getting my popcorn.
But I do like the thing at Cinemark in Davenport where you can pre-order.
Yes.
Ahead of time, which I normally do.
Yes. Okay, wait, so you didn't explain. So what was the thing at the movies that was good this week or that you were talking about?
So I saw The Long Walk.
Yes.
It's based on an old Stephen King book of the same name. And, oh my gosh, it's crazy. It's basically about, it's kind of like The Hunger Games, but walking.
Yeah.
So really, you have this group of young men, and they're in this nationwide competition to just walk, and you have to walk, and you have to keep maintaining a speed of 3 miles per hour, and you have to maintain that speed.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not, you get a warning, and you get up to 3 warnings, and if you get a fourth one, then you are eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say eliminated, I mean
permanently.
Permanently eliminated from life.
Yes.
So So it was crazy. And you're seeing like all these kids, and they start off all happy and full of energy, and then you slowly just see how the physical toll of having to constantly keep walking and the mental toll.
Yeah.
And seeing how some people, like, they start to literally go crazy.
Yeah.
And lose their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some things in this movie that I didn't expect to see in any movie ever.
Mm.
Because I had some questions about, well, if you have to keep constantly walking, how do you do certain things that as human beings we just have to do?
Right.
And they answer those questions, and I kind of wish I had never asked those questions.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. It was a great movie. It had great actors. David Johnson is in this movie. If you don't know who David Johnson is, he played Andy in Alien Romulus. He was the android in Alien Romulus. He was fantastic in this movie. And to be honest, I kind of hope whenever they recast T'Challa in the Marvel Universe, that they pick this guy to be T'Challa. He is amazing.
We got to get that message to the top.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully Kevin Feige, you know, seen his performance, because he's just been killing it right now.
Yeah, yeah. I did see an interesting, while we're talking about movies, we were talking about how attendance has been down. Another interesting phenomenon that is not something I'm bringing up for the first time. I mean, lots of moviegoers and movie makers have talked about this. We're seeing less movies being made than, you know, kind of ever before in the digital age. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Joanne. I mean, you can be the fact checker because I feel like you know so much about this. Part of the problem is studios, you know, you have a $400 million budget, let's just say. $300 million of that is going to one movie. Okay, well, what, you know, take the other $100 million and split it up among 10 indie movies, or are you going to make one or two more big budget movies? And that's what's happening. And so I saw a really interesting post by Sarah, the woman who runs the Voice 61 drive-in theater up in Maquoketa, Iowa. I grew up going to the drive-in in Redfield, South Dakota. I love the drive-in. We have one in Bluegrass, Iowa, that's like 20 minutes from my house right now, and we go there all the time. We love it. By the way, the Bluegrass drive-in has a free 18-hole mini golf course.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
I didn't know that.
I know. So when you're before your movie starts, or like it's always double features, so either before the first movie or in between the movies, if you want, you can just go play mini golf for free while you're hanging out.
Nice.
I know. She posted at Voice 61 about how because there are less movies being made right now, it's so much harder for her to get seats filled and get people in because, again, they're showing double features. Like, Bluegrass shows 8 movies every single time they're open every night. And she was like, it's really hard to consistently have new, exciting movies that people want to see when studios aren't putting them out.
I know. And how many sequels?
Oh, my gosh.
Have we gotten compared to, like, original movies? It's like we're always getting, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to be in the theater to see it when it comes out, but Predator Badlands, it looks awesome, and I will probably be there, but we've gotten a lot of Alien/Predator movies. I mean, there's the whole Alien Earth series
that
just came out.
Right.
I haven't watched any of it yet. I'm waiting for it all
to
release before I dive into that one.
Mm-hmm.
But
Future Rod.
Future. But... And then you have movies like Sinners.
Yes.
That are completely original.
Mm-hmm.
And people are asking for it, but yet they don't want to go and sit down and see it.
Correct.
And it's like, I had this conversation with a guy with QC Arts. It's like, people consume art on a daily basis.
Correct.
And if you want to see good quality art, you have to invest in it. You have to actually put some money into it.
Yes.
While it's great to be able to sit down at home and watch it from the comfort of our house and not have to pay much, it's only going to help so much when a good movie like Ballerina, for example, which is my movie of the year. Like,
oh, hot take.
My gosh. Like,
that is a hot take.
It's a fantastic action movie. I don't know if how well you've gotten into the John Wick series or franchise, but they take such care in producing action. It's fantastic and impressive. They do action right. And they do it in a way where it looks believable, and they do as much as they can practically. And it's just a testament to cinema and movie making.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. So that, for me, is my movie of the year. But it didn't, while it got good reviews, it didn't perform that well in the box office.
Yeah.
And it's really putting the future of that franchise up in the air.
Yeah.
Because these movie execs, they look at how profitable movies are, not so much about how well reviewed they are critically, but are these movies bringing in money? Are they justifying the budget? Because for most movies, they have to earn two, maybe three times its production budget just to break even, because they have to, you know, spend money on marketing. They have to split some of that money with the movie theaters,
right?
And of course, obviously, they have to pay their own people.
Yes. Which, again, goes back to, like, maybe they should stop making, you know, $300-400 billion movies. Well, not stop, but maybe we don't need 20 of those a year.
Well, it's also, you know, some of these movies are outsourcing a lot of their graphics, graphic productions out to companies that are producing subpar results.
Exactly.
Like, if you look at a movie maybe like 10 or 15 years ago, the CGI in those were way better.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to put all these movies so quickly that they're not being able to get the care they need in the production of all these special effects and visual effects, I should say.
I just actually on Friday night went to the Last Picture House. Is a boutique movie theater in Davenport, and they have a rooftop and they'll do like rooftop movies. So this past weekend they did Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So we went on Friday night and I was so blown away the whole time, because I only watch the Harry Potter movies like every once in a while, you know, there's eight of them. But to see a movie that was made in the 90s,
early 2000s.
Really? The first one was early 2000s?
I think it was 2001.
Okay. So see a movie that was made in, 25 years ago, and the CGI that they had, I was like, it's not the greatest CGI in the world, but I was like, wow. I couldn't believe how much it has stood the test of time. I expected to look back at it now and be like, oh, wow, look at that CGI. But like, it's really stood up. Like the giant troll in the dungeon, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I always like to attribute, like, the first Jurassic Park movie, which came out in 1993. Went back and watched that, and the CGI on the dinosaurs, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I remember 90s CGI fondly and how bad it was. This was incredible. You know, for the time and the technology that they were working with to create, you know, these photorealistic dinosaurs, the way they're able to do back then is impressive.
It's so impressive. Now, on the flip side, a movie that you watch now and you're like, wow, I didn't remember the CGI being this bad. Or it's not CGI. Is it animation? First Shrek movie. The first Shrek movie. I watched that now and I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember this as being like a masterpiece, and it still is. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but the CGI quite isn't as good as you remember it to be.
No, not at all. But you know they've got the fifth one coming out with all the original cast members coming back. So
I heard about that. I heard it got delayed, though.
Okay. Juwan and I talk about movies all the time at work, and we keep mentioning all these movies that get delayed. It's just, what a trend.
I know, like the new Mortal Kombat movie, it was supposed to come out
that one was hard
next
for Juwan.
Month, and now it's got pushed back to May 15th. So now it's like a week before GTA 6.
Ooh, Juwan's going to have a very busy May. I'm just not even going to no one reach out to him in May. But he'll be booked.
And while I'm bummed out that you'll have to wait longer to watch that movie. Usually when movies delay like that, it's usually for a good reason. especially because the movie was already slated to be released, they're either going back and they're giving it some more polishing to make it look as good as it possibly can, or they want to release it during a time where they know they can maximize on its success.
Right.
And, you know, May, that's like prime summer blockbuster season.
Yep.
As opposed to October, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, any movie can be successful at any time during the year.
Correct.
Maybe not January.
No. It is, like, it's so annoying to me when you go to the movie theater in January and there's, like, four other cars in the parking lot. You're like, where? This is movie watching season. Who wants to be outside? Wouldn't you want to be inside, cuddled up, watching a movie? In a theater?
But, yeah, I feel like, yeah, but typically January is, like, the month where movies are sent to die.
Yes.
Just because it's like, oh, they put whatever out and... You know, they have to release a movie. They just put out in January and be done with it.
Do you know a movie that I saw last year that did not get the recognition it deserved at all? I love probably my top movie of 2024, Civil War.
Oh, I saw that. That was
That was a really hard watch, but like a good hard watch, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it was. I saw that one. Yeah, it definitely made me think a lot.
That's one of those movies you drive home in silence, radio off. You just gotta like think and process everything. That's the other benefit of going to the movies. Mm-hmm. You get to like one, you're not on your phone that entire time. You're not distracted or like you know you're at home. You can pick up another device anytime. But two, you get to like drive home and process everything afterward.
It's. And I know some people complain, but in my experience, most people are pretty good at putting their phones down and not looking at their phones during the actual movie itself.
Right.
I've been to a few movies, like I think it was Sonic 3, but most of the people who were talking were little kids.
Right.
So I let it slide a little bit. Even though there was this one kid next to me that kept playing with his recliner seat.
Oh.
So it was really starting to bother me a little bit.
Oh my gosh. That would be intense. Yeah.
But I like I said, I let it slide just because they are kids, even though the parents should, you know, step in a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your kids, guys.
Please.
But where was that? What was I going at? What was I getting at?
We should have known that a podcast with us was going to devolve into movies very quickly.
Of course. And I could talk about movies all day.
Right?
All day. You know, especially about, I think I told you about the new Tron movie coming out. I saw they played the trailer for that when I went and saw The Long Walk yesterday.
Mm.
And it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the last Tron movie in theaters in 3D. And that was incredible.
Yeah, I bet.
Incredible. So I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with this new Tron movie.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
Because even, like, the first Tron movie, which came out in the 80s, that was pretty pioneering for its time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the first Tron movie at all.
I've seen clips.
But being able to, like, do a whole movie about being inside a computer.
Right.
And then showing what it looks like. And then, it was 15 years ago now, Tron Legacy. And just seeing how... Incredible at that.
That was 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That feels like yesterday.
I'm telling you. It goes slowly, but it feels fast.
Yeah, I always think about that. It's like the days are long, the weeks are fast, the years are faster kind of thing.
But I'm really looking forward to just seeing what they do with Tron, because like Tron's like one of the few like actual original Disney properties. It's not Star Wars, it's not Marvel. This is actual Disney making an action movie, and you know there aren't really a whole lot of like Disney made action movies. I mean, what do you have, like Pirates of the Caribbean?
Right. Now what does Avatar fall under?
Avatar is 20th century.
That's 20th century.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something my household is very excited about, is the third Avatar movie.
I'm curious. I know they've made quite a few of these already.
They filmed this one and the second one at the same time, is what I had heard.
Okay, so I'm just interested to see like where they go next and how they can keep it interesting. I guess that's my main concern.
I think what's so I'm not like the biggest Avatar fan. I much prefer The Last Airbender if we're talking Avatar. But my fiance, that is his favorite movie franchise, movie storyline of all time. So we watched the first one a lot at our house. We were in the theaters for the second. We'll be there for the third. I even though it's not my favorite, I'll give him props. It is really cool to have. We were talking about how there's so many sequels there are right now. It's really cool to have a completely original universe and world building and characters and language. I'll give it hats
it's
off,
cool.
James Cameron.
And James Cameron, James Cameron, of course, who directed Titanic and Terminator, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. He's like one of the goats of filmmakers.
The fact that he pioneered deep sea diving for the Titanic is insane to me. Imagine being that much of a dual goat. What is he going to go to Mars next? I wouldn't be surprised. He's this is just research for my next movie.
Right. I mean, Ridley Scott, he made The Martian. And that's like probably one of the best like sci-fi movies, you know, that I've seen lately.
What's that new sci-fi movie coming? It's based off a book starring Ryan Gosling. It's coming out in March. Hail Mary. I got slightly spoiled for me, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but the trailer comes out. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, someone on Twitter goes, kind of a shame that like one of the pivotal, like secret, like, oh my gosh, plot twists in the book is like revealed almost instantly in the trailer.
Oh,
interesting. And I was like, oh, okay, well, there goes me reading the book, which that's not going to happen. I will read the book, but... That's an interesting take. I'm excited to see how they're going to try to keep that movie still fresh, even giving away that huge plot twist.
Yeah, and a lot of the times with book adaptations, they usually change you know, a few things about it just so that it's not completely same. So even if you have read the book, you still get some kind of surprise out of it.
Yes. Wait, deep cut. I was just talking about this with Bobby Metcalf, one of our old colleagues, before he took a different job a couple weeks ago. Deep cut sci-fi book and movie that I hold so dear to my heart is Ender's Game.
Oh, I've heard of this movie. I've heard of that. It's with like the kid, right?
Asha Butterfield.
Okay. What about it?
It's like, oh, I'm not going to spoil too much. If you, like, truly, this book, reading this book in seventh grade, like, changed my life to the point that, sorry if you are listening, my seventh grade English teacher, Mrs. Voigt, I did steal that book from my high school at the end of the school year, and it is still on my bookshelf today, because it is, I think that's a worthy cause to steal a book. I was 12. It's like these kids are selected because they're really good at like video games, but also like some of like the war style, like strategies that video games have with them. And, they're like training to like run these armies. Like the government wants them to take over as like generals. So they're doing all these simulators on the video games. And do you want me to spoil it? The book came out like 50 years ago. So
all right, so this is a spoiler warning for Ender's Game. So if you haven't read the book or seen the movie, this is your opportunity now to pause the podcast, go watch it, go read it, and then come back. All right.
Again, these things came out like more than 20 years ago, so I feel like it's fair game. The main kid, the best kid, Ender. They're like. The kids slowly start getting like pulled off and the good ones keep going, but they're like working them to death. And finally at the end, he like realizes none of this has been a simulation the whole time. They have been commanding real troops in real life battles the entire time. And they didn't know. And it's like the end. And he realizes that what they're going to do, like what he's about to go send all these troops to do, so one, send them to their death, but two, the people that they're fighting or the entities that they're fighting, he realizes are not really the enemy. Like we're going after them unfairly. And so he tries to put a stop to it. It's crazy. The movie has Sir Ben Kingsley. It has Harrison Ford in it. It's got an all-star cast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I would really recommend.
Cool.
Okay, spoilers over.
Nice. So, another. I actually just picked this one up. It was like for like $5 on like Amazon, and it was called Ad Astra with Brad Pitt.
What is it called?
Ad Astra.
Ad Astra. Okay.
Yeah, it's another science fiction movie, and about an astronaut. He has to go out into space to search for his dad.
Oh.
Who's out in the deep solar system.
Dang.
So he has to go from like the moon to other planets to find his dad. And it's really cool.
How old is Brad Pitt?
He's got to be in his 50s.
In the movie?
I don't know about in the movie.
No, yeah, that's what I'm like. How old is he when they film this?
So it came out in 2019, I want to say.
This came out in 2019? What? Mm-hmm. I didn't start watching movies religiously mm-hmm. until like probably 2020, so mm-hmm. that's my excuse. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a good one. That's another good one. Of course, Interstellar is amazing.
Oh my gosh. And so much detail. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the scene when they're on the water world? Mm-hmm. And like every time you hear the clock tick, another year is going by on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like in the score, mm-hmm. like it's all built in. Like there's so many clues in the score on like every world that they're in about like what's mm-hmm. happening in the background. It's visionaries. Mm-hmm. Who did that score? Was that Hans Zimmer? Interstellar?
Hans Zimmer, yes.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah, he did most of Nolan's movies. It wasn't until recently that he switched over to Ludwig Göransson. Who he does a lot of work with Ryan Coogler.
Yes, and he did Sinners.
He did.
And the amount of research that Ludwig put into that movie and the music that he made was unparalleled. I mean, yeah. I just loved listening to those interviews.
Yeah, he also did Black Panther.
Yes, yes.
So, but yeah, yeah. I think
and they were just random roommates, weren't they, in college? Mm-hmm. That's how they met?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, Ludwig is definitely one of like the upcoming composers in motion picture scoring.
Yes. I mean, right now, the goats are Alvin Silvestri and Hans Zimmer. To me, mm-hmm. to me, those are my goats.
I'm a big fan of. He does a lot more work with like TV scoring, but it's Ramin Djawadi. I think is how it's pronounced.
What has he done?
He did the Game of Thrones theme.
Oh,
he's also done Prison Break.
Yeah, he is amazing.
I think he also did Battlestar Galactica as well.
Did he also do Deepwater Horizon?
That is a
no fact checkers.
That is a great question.
We will fact check this one.
Let's see. But I know Ramin. He's done like a lot. He did the first Iron Man.
Oh, movie okay, okay.
As
okay.
well. So yeah, he's done like a lot of different. I just love because he in Iron Man. And I think he also did the Pacific Rim movie as well. Mm. He likes to like incorporate not just like traditional scoring, but he also incorporates in like heavy metal as well.
Yes.
And he got Tom Morello, who's the guitarist for Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave, mm-hmm. incredible musician, to do like the guitar riffs.
Oh, you know, my in the gosh. Scoring.
So it's.
That's incredible.
It's really good. So it looks like he did Deep Beneath the Pacific.
Oh, I was close. Same, but different.
But that was for the Pacific. That was a song off of the Pacific Rim soundtrack.
Pacific Rim. What a movie. What a movie. I love how quickly.
Yeah, it looks like, no, he did not do Deepwater Horizon.
Dang it.
That was done by Steve Jablonski.
Oh, Steve Jablonski.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah. Ramin Djawadi, he's done stuff for Game of Thrones, Iron Man, Westworld.
Talk about a show that everybody freaking loved and then just kind of like dropped off. I don't even think HBO has it on. You can't even like watch it anymore.
I heard they pulled it.
Exactly. Like it doesn't even exist. And it was like the most watched show in America.
I wonder if it's on like iTunes or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
May have to get that one at this replay.
Seriously, James Marsden. Mm.
Mm. Oh, he's in it.
No. Wait a second.
Cyclops?
Isn't he
Cyclops?
I thought he was. Hold on.
We're doing our own fact checking right now.
We got tired of spreading so much misinformation. Hold on. James Marsden. Whose phone is going to load it first? Yeah, he was...
Oh, yep, he is.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, he's the sentient android Teddy Flood. 3 seasons.
All right, guys. So I'm actually talking to you now on my phone because my actual recorder decided to die on me. So now I know I need to plug it into an actual power source if I'm doing it more than an hour. But let's go ahead and wrap her up, Shelby. So real quick,
yes.
Tell me, how do you keep it 100?
Ooh. I think to keep it 100, you have to care. You have to constantly be evaluating, you know, am I happy? Am I pouring myself into my relationships, my work, my activities, my relaxing time? And it all comes down to, what do I care about? What am I passionate about? And if you want to chase something, you have to care about it. That's how I keep it 100. You gotta care. No more apathy.
Absolutely. That is such a very thoughtful thing to say, Shelby. Thank you so much for coming on here and chatting with me for, you know, almost an hour straight about all types of things. I definitely appreciate you.
Thanks, Juwan.
How can people find you if they want to look you up?
Ooh, well, I don't use X anymore, but at Shelby Kluver on every other platform.
All right. Thank you so much, Shelby, and everyone at home. Thank you for listening to the 100 Series Podcast.
Woo-hoo.
You know where to find us here on Apple, Spotify, and definitely follow me on Instagram at 100_series. Definitely would love to have you. We're doing some big things here. We know it's a crazy world we live in, and we are trying our best to put smiles on people's faces. That's our main goal here, is to uplift and inspire. So if you want to be inspired, if you want to be uplifted, we would love to have you. Thank you all so much. We wish you peace, prosperity, and positivity. Take care of yourselves and keep it 100.